message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
One of the real joys of being a believer is being able to study the Word of God and find out all of the blessings that God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter number 8, verse 32, Paul writes, he says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" That's like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That's like Colossians 1, chapter 2, verse 10. "And ye are complete in him," which is the head of all principality and power. That is, when God saves a person and places them into living oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ, we have all these blessings that God has. You see, God looks at the Lord Jesus Christ and finds all of His delight. God the Father finds all of His delight and joy in God the Son. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what God does is He places you into the Lord Jesus Christ. And being placed into Christ means that God views you as being in His Son. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary 2,000 years ago, He died for your sins. Your sins were placed upon Him. He died there, and then God raised Him from the dead. And when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, here you are, and you look yonder to Calvary and you trust Him, God takes you and places you into the body of Christ. That is, He places you into oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes you and puts you into Christ. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The baptism in the Bible for you and me today, Paul says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We don't have today in the dispensation of grace, we don't have by God, given to us by God, a Jewish cleansing purification ceremony, the water baptism of time past. Back in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the early Acts period back here. In those books back here, when God was dealing with the nation Israel, the baptism back there was a water baptism, a water ceremony that was a Jewish purification rite having to do with cleansing the nation Israel from idolatry so that they could serve as that holy, separated, dedicated nation of priests in the kingdom. And that was a baptism that was appropriate for their time. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, He added to them the anointing, the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Christ pours out the Holy Spirit upon them. But in the dispensation of grace, God has set aside the nation Israel. And when He set aside Israel, He set Israel's program aside. And He set Israel's baptism aside and Israel's program, and He replaced it with something new, just like He took Israel and set them aside, interrupted His program with them, and temporarily holds their program in abeyance while He's performing carrying out the dispensation of grace in which He's forming the church, the body of Christ. This is the prophetic program. That's the mystery program. The agency in here is Israel. The agency in here is the body of Christ. The program back here was law. The program in here is grace. And just like that, the baptisms are different. The baptism back here, there were two baptisms. In fact, a water ceremony, a cleansing, a purification rite for Israel's kingdom, and the baptism by the Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit on the believers. But now in the dispensation of grace, there's only one baptism that's operative today. By one Spirit are we all, every person that trusts Jesus Christ as His Savior, is baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And your identity today, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Your identity today as a member, as a child of God, is that of being a member of the body of Christ. You are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And what that means is that God Almighty, back up here God looks down at us today, and He looks at us and sees us in Christ. He sees us through the merits of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary in His death and resurrection in our behalf. And God, if God spared not His own Son, but freely delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If you have Christ, if you have the one who is the apple of the Father's eye, if you have him and you are in him, listen, what is there that God hasn't already given you? God has given you the greatest, the most precious possession he has, God the Son. He put you in Christ, and in Christ, he blessed you with all spiritual blessings. He made you complete. You see, you don't need anything else than what God already gave you, because he gave you everything he has for you in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the gift that includes everything else. Now, you have God's righteousness. We've studied and studied and studied. He took our sin on him at Calvary that he might give us his righteousness, his rightness, his status of being right with God. We have the righteousness of God in him. God made him to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The way you get in him, the mechanics of getting in Christ into that position, is by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The great exchange of the universe is he takes our sin, gives us his righteousness, takes us out of Adam, puts us into Christ, makes us a new creature. This new identity that we have in Christ gives us a position and status before God that's very special. Nearer to God, nearer I could not be, for in the person of his Son, I'm as near as he. Dearer to God, dearer I could not be, for in the person of his Son, I am as dear as he. That's a wonderful position to be in. Because of that status that we have, because of this identity that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has given to us a wonderful status. Because of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, everyone who comes to him through faith, and that's where we're at in Romans 4, by the way, we've been studying the issue of faith and how that our salvation and our justification and our righteousness before God is obtained on the basis of faith, not human efforts and works. And everyone that comes, because Jesus of his death and resurrection, everyone that comes to God by faith is that moment placed into Christ, made complete in him, we're redeemed in him, we're made acceptable to God in him, and Romans 4 talks about it in the context of forgiveness. One of the most thrilling passages in the book of Romans is Romans chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8, where he says, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity." Now, when he says blessed there, he's talking about more than just, well, Lord bless you kind of stuff. You know, we use the term sometime in a rather happy, slap happy kind of way, kind of as a little, well, Lord bless you kind of thing. But in the Bible, blessedness is far more than that. Genesis chapter number 30, when Leah has her child, his name is Asher. Genesis 30, verse number 13. Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters shall call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. And Asher means blessed, happy. The word, that's the first time that expression blessed, happiness, joy, occurs in your scripture. And it's talking about happiness, and it's talking about joy, but it's talking about not just being woo happy, like it's talking about the joy and the blessedness of having a newborn baby born into your family. Have you ever, this past week, a couple in our assembly became grandparents for the first time. Their daughter-in-law and their son had twins. They called up grandma and grandpa and announced the birth of the twins. And you talk about eyes getting big, and excitement filling the air. In fact, the babies were born during the Sunday morning service time when we were at church. And as soon as the morning service was over, our morning preaching service was over, grandma went and called. They'd called before service and found out that they were in the labor room. And they went and called after the service and found out that the babies had been born and they were healthy and they had all their fingers and toes and everything was fine. There were two of them, in fact, two boys. And they were healthy and big and robust. And you talk about grandma and grandpa just almost floating on air. you know how it is. If you have children, you know the joy of having a baby born into your family and into your life, especially the first one. That joy of an excitement of a newborn, that's blessedness. It's not just being happy, you know, not just happy hour down at the corner pub. We're talking about something that's a deep-seated joy down in the soul. Blessed is the man. David describes the blessedness, the joy down in the heart of a man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. This is a happy condition. And the blessedness has to do with the issue of total, complete, absolute forgiveness. Notice what he says in verse 7. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Now, Paul is quoting Psalm 32, where David described the joy that he had for having his sins forgiven. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know what that is? That's absolute, complete, total forgiveness. It says that God will not impute sin to the man who is in Christ. Our sins are completely and totally forgiven. The word forgiveness means they won't be held against you any longer. He isn't up here in heaven looking down at us, watching out and trying to make sure that we don't make a mistake, because if we do, He's going to swat us one. He's not a cosmic detective trying to ferret out all the wrongs and the mistakes in your life so that He then can zap you. Have you ever heard you get the idea. You see, when you're in Christ and you're under the blood of the Lord, God looks at you down through what His Son has done. Your sin has been dealt with at Calvary. In fact, God's whole attitude toward everybody today, saved or lost, is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing men's trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What are we doing on this Bible study? We proclaim that there's reconciliation available for you today. You can be reconciled to God. You can be brought back into oneness and peace and harmony with God. How? Through the blood of His Son at Calvary. What Jesus Christ did there is God dealt with Him, punished Him for your sins. Have you ever seen someone suffering and someone miserably suffer calamity in life, and people say, well, why did God do that to them? My friend, God didn't do that to them. That's the facts of it. And I know sometimes, you know what we do? We get bitter and we get mad, and when the things that we can't explain happen, we strike out and we want to blame somebody. You ever notice you never want to take responsibility ourselves? We're always looking for somebody to blame, and because we can't get at Him, we'll blame God for it, because He should have done something. We got this thing about doing it ourselves, you know. We got this thing about doing it our way. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. I don't want anybody interfering. And then when it all goes haywire, you know what we do? Then we want to blame somebody else. that doesn't work. But that's our nature, so that we're not held accountable because of the fear of not being able to pay the load. You know, my friend, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, God takes all of your sin and completely and totally offers you a payment for them, a payment the extent of which is complete and total. Now, there are people that say, well, okay, after you trust, when you trust Christ, that means everything you ever did in the past is okay, but now anything you do in the future up there. And every time you sin, God writes a mark down on the board. He's watching. Okay, I got you with another, and there's two more on the board there. And if you sin again, I tell you, you get four of them up there. Oh, there's the fourth one. I'm going to come, and I'm going to get you, and now I'm going to punish you. And people have the idea, and they're Christian people watching this television program right now. And you sit there and you think that, okay, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and now you have to go out and live for the Lord. And if you don't live for Him, and if you mess up and if you fail, God's marking them down up there. And then you have to go to the confessional, and you have to go and bow before God and say, oh, God, I'm sorry about it, forgive me, and I want you to erase them. And He erases those that you confess. But then if you forget one or you don't get it, then He's going to deal with you. And there's some of you that sit right there in front of this television, and you're afraid that if you were to die tonight, not having confessed all of your sins, that if the Lord came, you'd be left behind. There wouldn't be any rapture for you, wouldn't be any salvation because of some of the things you didn't confess. And I want you to understand something. That's just untrue. You see what that verse says? Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. God took all your sins and He erased them off the board. And you say, yeah, but He might write some more down. No, look at what it says. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know what it says? He put all of your sin on Christ. He dealt with Jesus Christ about every one of your sins, and now He'll never write any more on the board. In fact, He doesn't just not write any more on the board. He picks the board up and throws it away so that He just refuses. The extent, the complete and irreversible extent of our forgiveness is a wonderful joy to know about. Come with me, if you will, to Psalm 103. Paul quoted David there. There's several other verses back here in the Old Testament that demonstrate the extent of the forgiveness. Psalm 103, verse number 12. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You know how far the east is from the west? If you go out and get an airplane and you go north, you can go north so far and then you'll start going south again. You can go south so far and then you start going north again up and around the axis of the earth. But if you get in that same airplane, leave the same airport, and go east, did you know that you'll never go west? If you go east, the only direction you'll ever go is east. You go all the way around the globe, and you'll only go east. If you leave that same airport, but go west, you'll always go west, and you'll never go east, because east and west never, ever meet. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You know what that means? That means that you'll never again meet your transgressions. When God Almighty put your sin on His Son, Jesus Christ, and your sin sunk His soul down into the lowest hell, and He suffered the eternal wrath of God against your sin there, God Almighty said they're gone, and you'll never meet them again. They'll never show up on a dark night in a side alley to mug you or to pull you down. They're gone. Never to meet them again. Never to face them again. Never to be dealt with again about them. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38 verse number 20. Isaiah chapter number 38. Well, make it verse 17 instead. Isaiah 38 verse 17. Behold, talking to Hezekiah. For peace I have great bitterness, Hezekiah said. But Thou, God, hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. You saved my soul right out of hell. For Thou hast cast all my sins, what? Behind Thy back. You know what God said He does? When Jesus Christ died there, when you trust Christ as your Savior, God takes all of your sin and He puts them behind His back, and then He turns His back on them and He walks away. You know where your sins are? They're out of sight. They're behind His back. Unless you've got eyes in the back of your head, you can't see them. They're out of sight. They're not the issue between God and you anymore. Somebody says, well, I need to confess my sin. Listen, you go up and start confessing something to God, and God looks at you and says, I don't see what you're talking about. Why? Because they're behind his back. That's a way of God expressing to you that they're not the issue. You know what's the issue between you and God? His Son, not your sins. Come with me, if you will, to Micah, chapter number 7. Micah, the Old Testament prophet Micah. It's fascinating how God strings these verses back in the Old Testament back here about these things. So because the forgiveness that he provides for Israel through the blood of Christ is yours and mine today also. That's why Paul quotes those things over in Romans 4. They describe the joy that we have. These people back in the Old Testament time never understood why God could do it. We now know why. Through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, he could offer such complete and total forgiveness. Micah chapter 7, verse number 19. Micah 7, 19, he says, he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou hast cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You know what happens when you drop something overboard at sea? Buddy, it's lost and gone forever. You'll never see it again. It's gone. You can't recover it even if you wanted to. When I was a young guy, a young boy, early teens, when I was raised, we fished a lot. And I loved to fish. And we'd go down to the river or down to the lake and we'd go fishing. I was raised in Alabama. And we'd go fishing. One time we'd spent several days out in on the river fishing, my uncle and my dad and my brother and I. And I was in the boat with my uncle. And we had pulled up onto the land and landed, and he'd gotten out of the boat up onto the land and was coming back. And we were sitting there, and I had a pair of needle-nose pliers or an instrument that I was working with the bait with and some hooks. And he'd made the comment to me, he said, now don't lose that. Well, I was using it, and you know, as a young kid will do, you're playing with it and you dangle it. And it didn't take long, and I dropped those pliers over the side of the boat. And I can remember in my mind, like it was just happened, those pliers sinking down into the water. And I jumped in. I plunged my hand after those pliers down into the water, and they were sinking. My fingers came that close to getting them, but they beat me. My arm ran out. It wasn't long enough to get them before they got out of sight, and they were gone. You know where those pliers are? They're still in the Escambia River. That's where they are. I never got them. They were gone forever. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. God takes them and he says, I refuse to remember them anymore. You see, it isn't that God, you know, sometimes you say, well, I just can't forget about things. It isn't that you don't, somebody says to you, I can't forgive somebody this. I just can't forget about it. It isn't that you can't, that you forget about it. It's that you choose to forgive it. And God, because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, chooses not to hold your sins against you anymore. God, because of what Christ did at Calvary, chooses for you and me never to have to face our sin and be dealt with by his justice against our sin. Because his justice dealt with Christ. God, because of Calvary, chooses to put our sins behind his back and not deal with us on the basis of our sins anymore, but deal with us on the basis of who he's made us and our Savior. God, because of Calvary, chooses not to remember our sins against us, but rather chooses to remember who he has made us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the extent of the forgiveness that God has provided for us in Christ. That's the extent of what God has done for us. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, he says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. Look at here. He has erased them off the board, taken them away. Why? For mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. You know what that means? God has determined not to bring them up to you again. Can I say to you, friends, your sin, if you're a believer today, your sin is not the issue. God's Son is the issue in your life. Now, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, your sin is not the issue. Stopping your sin, stopping sin, quitting sinning, quitting doing this, quitting doing that, doing something right, those things aren't the issue. Your performance, what you do, is not the issue before God. You know what the issue is? What His Son has done. If you'll trust His Son as your Savior, God will forgive you. God will cleanse you. He'll make you clean. He'll redeem you. He'll set you free. Is that how you think about yourself today? If you've never trusted Christ, you can have forgiveness. You can have cleansing. You can have freedom from sin simply by relying exclusively on what God has done for you in His Son. God thinks so much, so highly, so valuable is what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. That's the way He'll treat you when you rest in His Son and Him alone. Not going to church, not religion, not activities that you're, but trusting what He did for you. And then when you trust Him and God puts you into the merits of His Son, then His Son becomes the issue in your life. And Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Because you see, the reason that God forgives you and cleanses you is so that He can then put His life into you. And that His life can then be what lives through you. And once you understand, Jesus told His disciples, to whom much is forgiven, they'll love much. And when you see the forgiveness that God gives you in Christ, then you see the life that God puts in you, then His Son becomes the problem, and you focus on His Son, and there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Total Forgiveness. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 227. That's tape offer number 227. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. I'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.